Marcia Ella Duncan is a member of one of Australia's most famous sporting families, the Ellas. But it was something that I saw her do on the field recently that made me want to talk to her, because she delivered the welcome to country at the recent Australia-England rugby union test, which unfortunately Australia lost. And it really impressed me, and I wanted to find out more about not only that welcome to country, but the whole idea of welcome to country. And Marcia Ella Duncan was our guest on Overnights.
Good morning, Rod.
How often are you asked to perform a welcome to country ceremony?
Quite frequently, actually. I do, on behalf of the La Perouse Local Aboriginal Land Council, I often perform welcomes at a wide variety of events. Some of them, of course, major sporting events like Saturday night, and other times it may be smaller events like a community meeting convened by Roanoke City Council, for example.
And would you tailor that welcome to country to who you're talking to or the event itself?
Yes, I do. I do like to include a brief explanation of the context for welcomes to country. You know, I do feel that they're very important symbolic gestures that, you know, are a very small opportunity to help inform people about Aboriginal culture and Aboriginal people. So I do like to include a brief explanation of why we do welcomes and traditionally what the purpose of a welcome to country was. But I do tailor them apart from that to the event.
I want to talk about what happened at the football the other night, because I thought that was fascinating. I think it was the best welcome to country I've actually ever heard, and there are plenty that we experience these days. But just explain, for those who may not know, what originally was a welcome to country, and how has that evolved these days, because it's become so prevalent in the last, you know, decade or so.
Traditionally, it wasn't so much a welcome to country in terms of the name, but, you know, Aboriginal people are very strongly connected to country, and, you know, each group has their own area that they are spiritually and culturally connected to. So when we leave our traditional lands and enter, you know, lands that belong to a different group of people, we would actually seek permission to be on those lands. Now, having received permission to be on those lands, you're also afforded protection. So, you know, with elders or people who had authority in the community, if they bestowed permission and protection, then, you know, of course you had to adhere to any of the other protocols that might have prevailed at the time. But essentially, you were accepted into, you know, that community for a period of time. More contemporarily, you know, it has become a symbolic gesture of reconciliation. So it's an opportunity to acknowledge the traditional owners of the area, but it's also an opportunity to acknowledge and celebrate the continuing Aboriginal cultural and spiritual connection to country.
When should they be performed, do you think?
At the beginning of any sort of gathering, of course, a welcome to country is usually performed by an Aboriginal person with a cultural connection to the area. Mm-hmm. But anybody can perform an acknowledgement of country, which is merely, you know, taking a moment out of an event to acknowledge and recognise the ongoing relationship Aboriginal people have with land. So it can be anything from a team meeting to a community event to a major event in my own workplace and, you know, in our own sort of day-to-day things. We often take time to acknowledge the traditional custodians of
sure.
the land.
What about if there isn't somebody from that local country, that local area, and someone from elsewhere comes in? Do you think that's appropriate?
Yeah, we call that an acknowledgement to country.
Right.
The welcome, of course, is, you know, you need to have the cultural legitimacy, if you like, to perform a welcome, because you are, you know, welcoming people from
right.
outside the area into your area.
So a welcome to country and an acknowledgement are two different things, really.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the acknowledgement, anyone can do an acknowledgement,
right, okay.
Both Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people.
And we often hear that, in fact, that people will acknowledge elders, both past and present. How political do you think it should get?
Look, I don't think it needs to get political, but it does. It does get quite political. And, you know, I have to say there are opportunities, I think, when performing welcomes to country, to be political in that regard. I think it's really important that, you know, any messages that we're like to impart during the welcome or acknowledgement are appropriate and relevant to the event. I think, you know, unfortunately, there are people, both Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal, who have very strong views about the ceremony, for want of a better word, and can politicise that. Personally, I think it's an opportunity to educate and inform. And I think the best way to do that is to persuade and, you know, to generate a sense of genuine curiosity about Aboriginal people and our position in the country today.
Marcia Ella Duncan is our guest, and people will recognise your name, Ella, as being from one of Australia's great sporting families,
mm-hmm.
and people would know about the achievements of your brothers and cousins, but you were pretty good at sport as well, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm known as being the first Aboriginal woman to represent Australia in netball.
Yeah.
I'm still heavily involved in the sport at all levels, both local level and, you know, I'm a member of Netball Australia's Reconciliation Action Plan working group.
So how did you get tapped on the shoulder to do the Welcome to Country prior to the rugby test in Sydney last week? Obviously, your brother's involved, I couldn't believe it, in coaching England,
mm-hmm.
and you made that a part of it in a really, I thought, a wonderful way. Tell me about how you were asked, and do you often do them at rugby games?
I often do them at sporting events at the Sydney Cricket Ground or Allianz Stadium.
Right.
One of the other hats I wear is that I'm chairperson of the La Perouse Local Aboriginal Land Council. I've held that position for about 7 years. Moore Park and that precinct actually falls within the La Perouse Local Aboriginal Land Council boundary. So I am, whenever there's an event, whether it's at the Horden Pavilion or a sporting event or racing events, racing carnivals, I'm often called upon in my role as chair to perform the Welcome to Country. So that's how I was there. But it was an incredibly surprising event that, you know, I had a brother on the other side of the fence. I could not let that go unacknowledged.
So tell me how you explained it. I mean, I heard it, I was there. But for those who may not have heard it, just how did you work that in?
I essentially welcomed all visitors to the event, and I pay particular attention to the English rugby team, which is not unusual in a welcome to country.
Yeah.
You know, they're our special visitors, so it's not unusual to do that. But I also indicated that I did share a surprising but very close connection with the team. I referred then to our ancestors and our parents. Our parents passed away many years ago. But, you know, during the whole event and in the lead up to it, all I could visualise was my parents sitting there laughing their heads off, enjoying the moment. And I thought, for both my brother and I, that was a really special and probably a once-in-a-lifetime event. So I had to acknowledge it. So, yeah, I refer to my connection with English rugby being surprising but close, and refer to our ancestors and our parents and, of course, our families in the crowd. But, you know, I hope that they were enjoying it as much as we were, because we did. We loved it. It was just so unusual.
So Glenn Eller was one of the assistant coaches, obviously with a former teammate, Eddie Jones from Randwick, who was coaching England. And but then I thought it also goes a little bit further back, that, yes, for an Indigenous person welcoming English people, I thought that was rather ironic.
The irony, I think, was interwoven throughout the whole event. You know, an Aboriginal person on the coaching staff of the English visiting team.
And you welcoming them.
Me welcoming, being part of, you know, having direct connection to the people who were here when the English arrived.
Yes. At La Perouse, which was one of the first areas of encounter, not only with the English, but the French as well.
Yeah.
You're there with the La Perouse Land Council, so a lot of people would be aware of Indigenous land councils in regional or rural areas.
Mm.
What goes on in an urban area? What's the role of the land council there?
Well, it's exactly the same as land councils in New South Wales. I might add that, you know, there are 120 land councils in New South Wales. So, you know, we're operating right there. I think there are six in the Sydney Basin. Our responsibility, of course, is to protect and promote Aboriginal culture, and it's also to manage assets on behalf of the Aboriginal community in our area. So in New South Wales, the land rights legislation allows for local Aboriginal land councils to claim certain land. It's a compensatory regime. Mm-hmm. So the Lapras Local Aboriginal Land Council owns a number of land assets and a number of other properties, and we manage them for the betterment of our community, both culturally and economically.
Okay. Marcia, thank you so much for explaining that for us. Thank you for a great welcome to country, even though we had a terrible night.
I know.
I blame your brother for it, obviously.
I know, I do blame him in part, but anyway.
And thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Rod.
And that is Marcia Ella Duncan with the story of Welcome to Country.